San Francisco, California. This is Mostly Music. And now, your hosts, Ignatius Palafox and Low Spark.
Thank you for joining us once again. This is Mostly Music. In a bit of a rapture here, listening to Mr. Ray Charles and Milt Jackson.
Milt Jackson.
Man.
Is it a dual piano thing? Oh, Low Spark, by the way.
Well, Palafox and Low Spark coming into you. Yeah, no, this is an album that I just discovered, and it is...
Live session?
No, it is... This is 57, I believe. Ray Charles and Milt Jackson. Milt plays the vibes. He's a vibe player, so... You know, he
vibes.
Plays... Yeah, vibraphone. So he played a little with Coltrane, but then he created the modern jazz quartet, the MJQ. But I never knew that he did an album with Ray Charles. And this is super, super jazzy. I mean, this track, The Genius After Hours, this is a little more bluesy. But, I mean, this is straight instrumental. And this is 57. This is after Ray Charles had, you know, he'd already had a few hits. And so,
is this a composition or what is it, a jam session? I don't
know. No, it's just a jazz album that they both that they collaborated on. But it's fucking amazing, man. I don't know. I've been listening to this like nonstop. I didn't know it existed, and I always loved Milt, and of course, you know, Ray Charles. But I just didn't know that Ray Charles did this late in his career. And it's not like it's late in his career. It's still pretty early, but in terms of like what he was already doing at that time, sort of more, you know, he more or less invented soul as we know it. I mean, back then it was still just called R&B, but, and Sam Cooke obviously had a lot to do with that too.
Yeah.
You know, but Ray Charles is still, you know, he had the influences from, you know, country, from gospel, obviously, and that's sort of mainly kind of like Elvis and Aretha, and that's usually, it's kind of like how Ray Charles progressed throughout his career. It was more pop. But in the beginning, it was just, man, it was just soul.
Put a little swing on that. You got yourself some little Richard.
Yeah, he did everything. Yeah, he did everything. And
no,
he even
saying, you throw a little swing with Ray Charles and you got yourself little Richard. Because you know? He's like the flamboyant Ray Charles.
Yeah, little Richard was more about rock and roll. And
Godfather rock and roll? He called himself the Godfather rock and roll. That's his quote.
Little Richard?
Little Richard. Yeah.
Really?
I'm the Godfather rock and roll. I created it. Everyone just copied me. It's true, man. You think about it, Little Richard started off, what, early 50s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, before James Brown. And in a lot of ways, he kind of discovered James Brown. He didn't really discover him, but they're both from Georgia, and James Brown was in and out of prison, and Little Richard sort of had a little bit more experience, and he kind of guided him, you know, like told him sort of what to do, what not to do kind of thing. And dude, I mean, when you think about it, like Little Richard was, like, that's crazy. Like, he was super flamboyant for the South in the 50s, like, that's insane. But he was so good,
he was,
and I'm not,
shit,
you know, I'm sure he had a lot of problems, but
yeah,
but he still, you know, but he was so good that you would just, you know, you couldn't deny it, kind of like, I guess, Liberace, right, later, although I don't know enough about it, but I mean, he was so popular.
Boy George,
people just George didn't want to go there, they didn't want to think about that. So
womp bomp baloo bomp badomp bamboo, dude.
Boy George, man. Yeah, Culture Club. It's funny because I was listening to a little bit of that last week, and it's just weird, like the cover of that album. I mean, I know it's the 80s, it's definitely a lot more modern, but it's
him with his hat and his bangs, or
yeah, like, dude, his long hair and his makeup and the lipstick
hair.
And it's like, you know, only recently have we been like as like a public okay with that, right? Like, because back then, I mean, that was still really weird. But you know, he was doing it.
Nobody, I grew up with that, though.
Yeah,
dude,
that's
from
the thing.
The bubble.
You know, it wasn't like it wasn't super taboo. I think because the music was good. Well, you know, well, it's,
maybe they accept you a little bit more in England.
Yeah, but you don't make it big until you come here, until you make it big in the States.
Yeah, you got to cross.
If the Beatles
pond.
Stayed in England, they wouldn't have fucking.
Yeah,
they wouldn't
have
shit. But no, but this album, man, it's just, it's so good. And I almost want to just keep it going.
Who's on the vibes?
Milt Jackson.
Milt Jackson.
Yeah, a.k.a. Bags. Bags is sort of his nickname.
Still alive?
But I mean, okay, listen to this. Are you kidding me?
Turn it up.
Thank you.
vibraphone is. I'm not quite sure as to what that instrument is.
Well, you're not even hearing it right now. This is just Ray just going for
his keys.
Yeah.
Even he's feeling it.
He's feeling it. It's just a side of Ray Charles that, just strictly jazz, it wasn't really, it didn't seem to be in his purview. I mean, obviously he had the chops.
Yeah, but he's the master at it.
He's the master. And it's just...
Oh. Turn it up, go ahead, don't be shy.
It's so fucking good, dude. He's killing it, man.
You can see him with his fucking killing it. His tongue out and he's like punched over his keys.
Yeah,
fucking going ham.
So fucking hot.
Gives you the feels.
So hot. But yeah, I didn't know that, I knew that everybody sort of played with each other. You know, jazz was very incestuous back then, but I just didn't know this album existed. And
well, that's one subject we haven't really touched on that for me. Especially with bands like Modest Mouse that we were talking about before, or other bands like Dinosaur Jr.
Mm-hmm.
For me, what really gets me is guitar solos and a really fucking epic guitar solo makes a song. It's the bridge in the song that just fucking tears a hole in you. I was listening to Almost Ready. Is it Almost Ready? From Beyond album from Dinosaur Jr. Totally opposite of fucking jazz music. I mean, we're talking about hardcore, one of the loudest bands, known as one of the loudest bands that you can ever... You go deaf at a Dinosaur Jr. show. Sure. I've never been to one. Definitely on my death wish. Or like on my bucket list.
Yeah.
And, no, I mean, like, and also, I was listening to Modest Mouse today, and like this one guitar solo just kept... I rewound the song... I swear to God, I rewound the song, I want to say 4 or 5 times. It was, let me see what album it was. Let me go back. But no, let me play you Dinosaur Jr. It's a little, I mean, it's going to harsh you a little bit, but the song I'm talking about is insane. Off their Beyond album.
You're gonna cut out Ray.
Yeah, sorry. Ray, we love you, but let's carry the torch over. To a little hardcore. The song's called Pick Me Up. Let's just play a little song. So Dinosaur Jr., I don't know if you're...
Jesus.
Yeah, it's loud. So, it's a guitar band. That's what they're known as. But... Later on, I'll die. I mean, it's heavy on the drums. Guitar. Raspy voice. Garage rock. But later when he gets into the guitar solo, it's literally like a 2-minute guitar solo, and it reaches so many fucking levels. It hits so many different marks, and you're caught up in it. You well up a little bit. You're like, fuck, dude. You're like, you're gonna play this shit at my funeral. But I mean,
but that's actually
But you play guitar. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. It's true, and what you think is a good guitar solo, might not be good to somebody else, and especially when you're playing it, you may do something that you've never been able to do, and it comes out, and you're just like, holy shit. Like,
how the fuck did I do that?
Yeah, and then you think it's incredible, and then...
You never recreate
maybe
it
maybe you listen... Well, or maybe it's just not as good as you thought it was, but... And see, that's I don't know, that's the tough thing about music, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, obviously music is for the other people, but I say fuck the other people. Like, just do whatever you want, do whatever you think sounds good, which is why I don't get paid to play music.
Well, I mean,
it's all right.
One of the greatest disc jockeys and live music recorders of all time John Peel. John Peel.
Peel Sessions. And,
yeah, Peel Sessions, John yeah. Peel. What he would do is get huge fucking bands, artists, and he would put them in a studio and record them live, and the music sounded different, and it sounded good. I mean, I don't know if the way he... There's no... I guess there's production value, but he's not producing it.
Well, there's
recording it.
Well,
and he's creating an environment.
But just recording it is producing it. Like
there's production in it. Yeah, but you're not producing. Like you're not mixing. You're not doing anything. You're just receiving. Well, so
he's probably doing all of that stuff. If he's setting up the mics, he's doing everything. You know, I guess not necessarily, but it's kind of like Phil Spector, right? Like a producer that does everything.
Exactly. But here you go. I want you to hear this. Turn that up. So this is like, it's hitting different. The song transforms, just like a Modest Mouse song would. You just smile. Can I scream?
Like Indiana
that's a
Jones?
Face melter. I mean,
I don't know, but literally.
Dude. Yeah. Like you're saying, like, if you don't like that guitar solo, you're a piece of shit.
Well, I don't know if I said that.
Said if you said somebody dies better than Michael Jackson, they're a piece of shit. If you don't like this guitar
that's
solo, you're a piece of shit.
All right.
Oh, I'm not going to be with that. So I was mentioning John Peel. So bands would come into his studio and be live performance, and they would go. John Peel's such a credible dude. He knows music and he knows sound, and he was so credible that people would be like, bands would be scared to go in, and they'd be like, we have to be on. Like, John Peel is recording us, we got to be on.
Yeah.
And there was one artist, so John Peel died 2004, like 12 years ago he died. But there was an artist that had the privilege of working with him, and he got a direct quote from John Peel saying, "So music is something you create. Music is something you put everything you do into it. Your heart, soul, you work hard at it, and to you, that's your art, that's your masterpiece. And if someone doesn't like it, that's not the musician's problem, that's their problem." Mm-hmm. And that's how he approached music.
Yeah.
John Peel would say,
I like that.
If there's something wrong with that song, it's not the song, it's me. So I have to figure out what's wrong with me that doesn't like that song. So that's what I try to approach music with. It's hard because I'll hear music and it's like, oh, I don't like it. But I was like, do I really not like it, or is it the mood I'm in? So I give everything at least two tries.
That's smart. I think that's a good thing.
But it's funny because, like, if I'm ever coming down off ecstasy when I was like younger, like everything, even radio play stuff, I'd be in the car and be like, oh, this song's good. I'm just like in such a serotonin fucking laced mood that I'm just like, everything sounds good. You know, so like I feel like I'm channeling John Peel when I'm coming down off ecstasy when I was younger.
That's best case scenario, I think. Yeah. It is good to be open-minded and to not just disregard something right off the bat.
Yeah, you know? No, everything gets a second chance. I mean, like, was your face not melted by Dinosaur Jr.?
I got to crank it up a little bit louder. I just don't want to blow my eardrums out here.
Yeah.
No, I do appreciate that. But you touched on something that I do want to bring up, because that is, it's something that I talk about somewhat regularly, and it's, what song do you want to be played at your funeral?
Yeah.
And I have mine.
I have mine.
Yeah. I mean, a funeral, first of all, I don't even really want a funeral. I want to be buried under a black walnut tree without a casket and a burlap sack.
A black walnut tree.
Yeah. I want to grow with that tree. And yeah, I don't want to be cremated, but I don't save the money from a casket and just throw like a huge kegger, right? Just throw a party in my name. I don't want people weeping on people party. But anyway, there's one song that I need to be played. And now that this is going to be out there in the ether,
yeah,
whatever happens to me, you can just legally, this isn't legally binding, but I'm going to go ahead and say that it is.
Yeah, right? This is contractual.
I need this agreement as my dying wish. I'm not dying.
Are you gonna play it? Play it. I want to hear the song.
Oh, well. Oh, I'm not dead yet.
But I want to hear how you're going to mention a song you want to be buried to or funeral to and not play the fucking song.
And that's the other thing. I mean, chances are a funeral party is going to be pretty long, so you're going to need more than one song. But
on a segue, my little brother just texted me, would I be a dick if I only gave you 4 stars?
Yes.
He's like, it's good, but is it really 5 stars?
That's funny. What's his name?
Georgie.
Yeah, Georgie, yeah. You would be a dick if you just gave us 4 stars.
I want to hear this track. Your funeral track.
Well, so it's...
I'm going down to Rosemary's. She never does me wrong.
That's the ballad.
You checking out on me, dude.
That's the track, man. That's all I need. So that needs to be played.
It's a legally binding contract.
It is now. It is. I'll let the lawyers.
Why a black walnut tree?
Black walnut tree. I mean, because they're fucking awesome. It's a super hard wood, and they'll live to be centuries old, if not longer. But I always figured that would be, an ideal way. Like, I don't want to be cremated.
It's so poetic.
Yeah. I want to be literally uprooted into that tree. I want my body to, fertilize.
You know, you sound like a bitch.
A sprout. A seedling. A sapling. What do you call, like, a baby tree? A sapling? I don't know. Until it grows, for 500 years. I don't know.
We were talking.
You live forever. You live forever as a tree, and maybe one day somebody will cut it down and make a guitar out of it, and so that's pretty cool too. So
the other day we were talking about what the fuck was the subject we were talking about? It was Bob Dylan selling a soul to the devil.
No, Robert Johnson song.
And Robert Johnson.
Bob Dylan.
Well, that was the rumor. I mean, he spent what he got through his last days.
He went to the hospital and he
said. I mean, a lot of people were like, dude, Bob Dylan disappeared for like almost a year, came back, and all of a sudden he's a fucking master.
Well, no, so okay, the Robert Johnson corollary, that is
Crossroads.
And there's a lot less. There's fewer accounts and there's less history and stories because Robert Johnson. This is like the 20s and the 30s, whereas Dylan's the 60s. So the history is easier to track down with Dylan. So who knows? Maybe Robert Johnson was way better than everybody thought he was. But the story is he was a mediocre guitarist.
He went to the Crossroads.
He was trying to make a living as a musician, but he really couldn't because there's so many other great musicians growing up in the Mississippi Delta at that time. And then he disappears for, you know, a couple months. I don't even think it was supposed to be that long. Maybe it was a year. I don't know. But he disappears and he comes back and he is just a luminary. He's a virtuoso. He completely changes music. I mean, not even just the blues and roots and folk. Like, he just completely changes music by creating these songs. He's playing in open tuning, and he's changing tunings between each song. He's just a master of the slide all of a sudden, and he's singing.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has all these, like, original melodies. It's just insane. Where did this come from? So whether or not he propagated this story or it sort of just came out because of the incredible, you know, just the sheer change that happened, people think, well, he sold his soul, and then he does have a song called Crossroads, right? Which of course Eric Clapton and many, many other people have covered. There's even a movie called Crossroads.
Why don't you play some Robert Johnson? I mean, people are gonna hear this, and everyone knows this fucking song. I know this song. I grew up with this song.
What, Acapulco?
Yeah, that too. No, Robert Johnson's Crossroads.
Crossroads. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and that's like he has so many great songs, and he had one recording session, I believe, where he got down about 30 something tracks. He might have had two, there's fewer than 40
this kind of guitar more. Playing. And we watched the movie Sweet and Low Down.
No,
that was a little bit later. That's like 15 years later.
That's jazz. That's gypsy jazz, and that is a little bit later. That's Django Reinhardt's sort of style.
The three-fingered assassin,
right? And that's the fictional character Emmett Ray.
No, wait. He's real.
He's real in all of our hearts.
It's funny when like, so I work at the bar, and there's always these girls that are always trying to like flirt, and they're like, "So what do you do for fun?" And I go, "Oh, you know, I just go down to the dumps and shoot rats with my 22." Yeah. And they're like, "What?"
When I go down to the dump, shoot some rats.
Yeah. They're like, oh, that's a Sweet and Low Down reference. And only once did I actually get someone that knew what I was talking about. That was kind of hot.
A chick?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was hot.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Play for me Robert Johnson's Crossroads.
Crossroad Blues.
Right. I think Bob Dylan's Hole is Hole in the Devil.
Yeah.
I went to the crossroads. Fell down on my knees. I went to the crossroads. Fell down on my knees. Had a lot of bourbon, mercy.
He died young.
He was. I believe the story is he got shot.
He got shot by a lover's husband. I mean, shoot, what the fuck? I mean,
he was young too. Yeah.
Like, who else died similar? Sam Cooke.
Yeah.
In a hotel.
Yeah.
By the fucking. Same thing, right? Hotel manager. So apparently, I feel bad for this guy. He was young. Sam Cooke was fucking magic. And he's in a hotel. He's getting his groove on. Or he's probably freebasing coke or something. Who knows?
I'm sure.
But him and his prostitute, this supposed prostitute, were getting high in their room. And the woman runs out of the room screaming bloody murder. And he follows her into the manager's office / apartment and says the woman just stole from me. And then the manager shoots him. Supposedly it was a brothel. Supposedly that was her pimp. She was the madam.
Right.
And they killed him.
That'll happen.
That's what happens.
They probably didn't know
death
who
by
he was,
misadventure.
Who knows, maybe, yeah.
Let's where do you go from there? Shit, man.
Didn't Marvin Gaye's dad kill him?
Marvin Gaye's story was a little bit different. So he grew up in an abusive household. His dad's really dominated him and his mom, you know, abuse, verbal, physical.
Yeah.
Marvin Gaye made it big. Decided to take a break from the road. Came home. Was trying to rest. He woke up to his father verbally and physically abusing his mom. Decided he'd had enough of this in his life. He's a man. He can deal with it. So he goes down and tells his father to fuck off. And he defends his mother, essentially. And, you know, because his whole childhood is tormented by this man. And, you know, as a man, he can finally stand up for his mother. So the father stops. He goes back to his room and tries to go back to sleep. And his father comes in and shoots him in the chest, I think.
Jesus.
Yeah, just kills his son. Dead Cole's like, no. Like, I'm your father. Fuck you. I don't care if your mom kills the motherfucker. I'm like,
Jesus.
Yeah, that's a fucked up story, dude.
And that he was probably his meal ticket too. I mean, his dad. Yeah, you know,
his dad's probably just some old school fucking abuser.
Right.
You know, it's just to him, it's just it means it, he won.
Yeah.
Essentially,
right, you into this world, I'll take you out of it, kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's dark. That's dark. But yeah, so I obviously that didn't happen to Dylan because Dylan didn't. He's still alive. So James Brown, you could say he sold his soul. But even then, you know, he lived pretty.
No, James Brown came out the fucking womb dancing and fucking singing. That guy was born into it, dude. He's naturally gifted. Naturally gifted.
So, okay, so what song do you need to be played?
It's off the Sigur Rós album.
The same same song that we...
Let's see, if you want me to play it, I'll play
last
it.
Time or, or a different track? Cause
it's a different track.
Cover that.
It's a... So it's off the, let's say, Gaseous Beer Journal. So I don't know if I get a preface to this album. I used to take ecstasy and listen to this album alone in my room. Who the fuck does that?
Ecstasy alone?
Who the fuck does that? I did. And I would it'd start off and you hear, like, you know, like I said, the cello bow touching the guitar, and you're literally just fucking falling into it. Anything he does and says, you're just going with it, especially if you're on drugs. And essentially it's just in my head. This is like the end of the album, the last track. What a better way to end. This symphonic beautiful sound. Song's called Avalon. If I'm pronouncing it wrong, I probably am because I don't speak Icelandic, but Ageitis Byrjun by Sigur Rós.
I think that's pretty good. That's better than I can do.
I mean, this is the best outro song I can fucking imagine.
This is very dirgy. This does sound like a funeral song.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely an outro. It's definitely an outro.
It's pretty good, but again, I mean, everybody's just going to be, like, losing their minds, like, you know. Well, I guess crying at funerals is something that's supposed to happen. But what if you could get Sigur Rós to actually play it at your funeral?
I've actually imagined that.
That would be the ideal scenario.
Right. I just am, you know, their biggest fan. If they find out I cried at that one concert, they'd be like, oh, that's the kid that cried at our concert.
Well, they do listen to every show.
It's funny.
They are our original subscribers, so.
My little brother texts me the other day, or he calls me. He's like, dude, I owe you a concert. I'm like, what? He's like, dude, I didn't know you went to that concert alone. I feel like an asshole.
You're talking like, about
the Cigarros concert that I cried at?
You talked about last episode. Yeah.
He's like, dude, we're going to New Order in April. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, I was supposed to go with you. I was like, no, I was supposed to go with friends. And then I asked if you wanted to go because they couldn't go. He's like, don't worry. I was like, don't worry about it. He's like, oh, okay, I don't feel so bad. Well, fuck you then.
But he remembers. He remembers. That night.
Yeah, no, that was He remember that shit was fucking hilarious.
Well, if anything, he should have regret because he didn't experience that.
Oh
too,
yeah, right? I think I wouldn't have experienced it the way that I did if I didn't go alone.
That's entirely possible. Yeah.
That would totally change my perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're listening to music and when you go to live shows or you're fucking, you know, kissing someone or, you know, anything that's intense that you experience in life, food that you eat, things like that. It really depends on the mood that you're in. Going back to John Peel, if something's wrong with it, it's probably not the thing. It's me. So I got to figure that out first.
It's a good way to look at it, I think. Or at least
I'm working on that.
It's a very healthy way to look at it.
It's a perspective I'm working on. I want to skip subjects. I want to talk about your doppelganger in the industry.
Yeah.
Give me the scenario. What happened to you at work?
Somebody, this girl came up to me and she ordered something. She ordered a drink and she was just staring at me like, you know, kind of intensely. You know, I didn't really think about it. This is during the day, so I'm alone. There's nobody else there, you know, so it's kind of busy, so whatever, you know. She's just like some weird chick, maybe. I don't know. But she was really nice, and she tipped me pretty big. I was like, all right, whatever. And then so she came back, you know, about a half hour later to get like a second round. And then she was just like, you're not, I know you're not, but you look just like Mike Patton. And she was like, really, like I could tell she didn't really want to bring it up. And it almost seemed as if she thought maybe I was.
It makes sense. Okay, so
but Mike I didn't Patton. At that time I couldn't piece together who Mike Patton was. Like I know like the name, it sounded familiar.
Let's fill
but
up the
I was
gaps.
Just like, and she was like, you don't know who he is, and I was just like, yeah, I think I do, but no, I was at work, you know, I don't know. But she was just like, it's crazy, it's weird, it's really weird. I was like, well, wait, is that a good thing? Like I don't, you know, I don't want to be like if somebody's, she's like, no, he's a really handsome guy. And I was like, oh, I was like, all right, I'll take that, I guess.
How old is this chick?
Late 20s, probably.
Really?
Maybe she knows about Mike Patton.
Okay, let's let them
she's
know.
She's probably from San Francisco.
So Mike Patton, lead singer of Faith No More. Faith No More is huge, locally huge band from San Francisco Bay Area. I mean, they came out with a few hits, a lot of the early 90s, you would see their video on MTV. And it's funny because you do look like that. And the funny thing is that she was probably really awkward. It's like going into like a cafe and seeing the barista used to be like a 90s fucking like rock star. You're like, oh, right. This is where he ended up.
Yeah, right, exactly.
At
it's
a bar.
Like, yeah. It's entirely possible. You know, it's entirely
yeah,
possible.
Yeah, it's like it makes sense.
Yeah, you know, it's, I don't know. I'm pretty sure she knew I wasn't, but at the same time, because I'm pretty sure that guy also has like 10 or 15 years on me.
Yeah,
but he still looks
pretty
good.
He aged really good.
Yeah, she pulled up some pictures and I was like, oh shit. There's a couple that do actually kind of look.
No, there was one. They were like, holy shit, that's you, dude. Want to play some Faith No More? Let's play their hit.
Because see, that's the thing. I'm very ignorant on Faith No More.
That's okay. I'd play their big really hit. That shit still gets me. I want to hear that. Turn it up. Yeah.
No, I definitely remember this song.
It's a notorious video. He's playing piano, he's boxing left shorts.
Yeah. See, it's funny, yeah, I don't remember. I mean, this album was 89, though, so I know the song. I don't remember the video, but it is kind of funny. You know, it's not bad. I mean, he's pretty great. Yeah, he's a pretty hot dude.
Here's where the controversy comes in. You're from Southern California. I'm from Northern California.
That's
right. I'm Faith No More.
Right.
You're Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I mean, I'm not Red Hot Chili Peppers. Accusationly
pointing my
finger at you.
Come
from L.A. Yeah, yeah. You are literally.
Draw the line of battle. I mean.
Yeah, and so you were making that comparison that there is a. There are two camps, right?
The Faith
No More and Chili Peppers camp. But I don't think they're that similar. I would think that maybe like Stone Temple Pilots or Red Hot Chili Peppers.
No. It's Faith No More.
Faith No More is so much different. I mean, that album, I'm not totally up on my Faith No More. I don't know if their albums sounded differently throughout the years. Mike Patton has a better voice.
So yeah.
Yeah, definitely. He can hit those crazy high notes, and then he has those nice lows. But, Anthony Kiedis is sort of just... He is what he is, but the Red Hot Chili Peppers is a hot band.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, let's play Red Hot Chili Peppers' first biggest hit.
What?
You know what I'm talking about.
See, I don't even know because they have so many.
Hits. See, the thing is, they survived,
right?
And they're still putting out albums. Faith No More fizzled out.
They sort of filled a certain. We were confused in the late '80s and the '90s, right? So,
well, we were children.
All music. Was really weird. And Chili Peppers, their first album's 84.
Under the Bridge.
But what song?
Under the Bridge.
Oh, okay. Well, that was a little bit later on.
Couple years later.
Blood Sugar Sex Magik. Is that from that album? From 91, I believe, right? Or is it from a different album? Yeah, it's from that album. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we can give that a listen.
We're kids. Yeah, this is harmonious. It's a little softer.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think that it's... It's a either or because the Chili Peppers are so much bigger.
More like what I got, what you want, get it in you. What's the name of that fucking song?
Yeah, yeah.
What I got, you gotta get it in you.
Give it away.
Yeah, give it away. Yeah. Give it away. Yeah. It's Faith No More.
Yeah.
That was the people
sort
were
of.
Saying.
Yeah.
People
that's
were
true.
Saying
that's
that Red Hot Chili Peppers bit off Faith No More.
That's
the only
possible.
Issue is both the bands came out in '83. They came out.
But Faith No
albums.
More had a different singer though in the very beginning, right? Mike Patton came on a little bit like a not late,
no,
but
no, no,
later
Mike,
though.
Mike Patton was one of the founders.
I don't know, he wasn't.
Pretty
he was
sure
in Mr. Bungle.
Mr. Bungle.
Yeah, that was what he created.
Everyone loves Mr. Bungle.
Up in Eureka, I think, is where he's from. Something like that. I don't know. I did a little research on Mike Patton just because I feel like I should know.
Oh, you have to. I mean,
my alter ego is, and maybe I'll go check into a hotel under that name, and maybe I'll get some VIP access or treatment. I don't know. We'll see.
Or freebase some coke with a $5 hooker.
But he's doing scores now. He did the Crank 2 Full Throttle, whatever that movie was.
Did he?
Yeah,
oh,
he did
that's
that score.
So, that's, he's,
he
yeah.
did he did a couple other scores actually, kind of recently. That's not easy to do a full movie score. Yeah,
but that's the work he's getting. Then that sucks, man.
Well, didn't you tell me he's also like doing like opera, or he's like dabbling in all kinds of other things, right?
I didn't say that. Yeah, I said he could.
I thought you did. Yeah. Well, I mean, for all I know, he did. He did like a big band like crooner ballad album, maybe 8 or 10 years ago. Again, I'm not. There are a lot of people out there that are just like super offended right now at my lack of Mike Patton knowledge. But
you should know more. But not to take anything away from Anthony Kiedis, he's a fucking. I mean. He's one of the greatest bands in the '90s, mm-hmm. and to this day, I mean, even the 2000s, like early 2000s,
definitely one of the strongest.
Yeah, yeah. They had hits. They had what, maybe like a
every
dozen?
Yeah, every year there was
a
like
a dozen hits, dozen singles.
Probably there's probably
more
double digit number of songs that you know.
Yeah. I mean, they got a lot of respect up here, but there was always that comparison. It's like this,
that's
this,
funny.
They're no
I
faith.
Don't know. I
they're
never,
no Faith No More.
See, maybe it's because I did grow up down there, and so I never even. I don't know. It was never even really on my radar. Again, bands like Stone Temple Pilots or even Soundgarden, right? Like those were
yeah,
more...
it's all like, you know, post grunge.
Yeah, it was like pop grunge. Well,
post-grunge.
See, I don't even know.
So they call post grunge.
Yeah, whatever, all that. Whenever you throw post in front of something, it was just sort of like my eyes rolled back. Like, postmodern, postmodern. But yeah, I don't know. It was a weird time. '90s was a lot of one hit wonders, and then there were a lot of bands that like Pearl Jam or like Chili Peppers, you know, that are still around, right?
I remember there was a rumor.
No Doubt even, right? I don't know if they're still around, but that was a little bit later on.
There was a rumor that Eddie Vedder was coming out with a banjo acoustic album.
Well, he had that ukulele album, right?
Yeah, ukulele album.
That's
yeah.
a real thing.
That's not a banjo. Ukulele album. They're like, what the fuck? And he did the soundtrack to Into the Wild. That's one of the greatest fucking soundtracks of all time.
With Karen O, or was that?
I think it was by himself. Was it Karen O? I don't know.
I don't know.
But no, it's...
Didn't we cover that before? I don't know. Maybe
Into the Wild?
Oh, Into the Wild.
Into the
That's
Wild
right.
soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
Not
yeah.
Where the
Excuse
Wild
me.
Things are.
Excuse me. You're right. The,
no. Yeah. I mean, pull up fucking Eddie Vedder Into the Wild. I'll pull it up. Into the Wild soundtrack.
Yeah, I don't know if we need to go there.
Why not?
I feel like that Eddie Vedder ukulele album, or ukulele, was it was like he took like an extended Hawaiian trip, and he like, you know, somebody gave him a uke and was like, hey, you know, you just push this chord and that's a C, you put these two chords and that's it. And he's like, oh. And in my mind, at least, I feel like it's like he's just getting really high and like, he's like, oh, I'm going to put together an album, you know? And he has the means to do it, so that's probably not how it happened, but that's how I think of it. I remember going to Hawaii when I was like a teenager, and we took some a ukulele class at this Polynesian Cultural Center, and yeah, and I felt like, oh, shit, now I know another instrument. Like, you know, you could pretty much learn it in a day. Like, if you already know how to play the guitar, at least, it's pretty
simple. Yeah, well, I was playing it for like a day off of YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think I could do this. I gave up on it. Is my thing on? Yeah. I think this might be it.
No, you're killing me, bro. You're killing me over there.
I gotta find it.
We finally gave you the ability to play music, and you're just killing it, and not in a good way. All right, you are a terrible producer.
There you go. This is the one.
I'm gonna restrict your music capabilities.
Listen to this.
Such is the way of the world, you can never know.
Not for you.
I'm not saying it's bad.
Just when
you watch the movie?
Yeah, I saw it.
Oh.
It's a good song.
It's a good story.
Yeah, kind of.
The kid fucked up.
I think the song is better than... Yeah, the kid fucked up. That's super dark. But, yeah, no, I think the song's better than the song.
I fucking hated him. Kurt Cobain was like, fuck Pearl Jam, fuck Eddie Vedder. I said, fuck Pearl Jam, fuck Eddie Vedder. Kurt Cobain said, and I quote, there's no point in having a fucking rock band with a lead singer that doesn't play the fucking guitar. Fuck that band. And I was like, he just preached. I'm going with Kurt. And unfortunately, they had the falling out thing and the, like, grunge versus other grunge and pop music and two totally. They're just
they're both
odds.
From more or less the same place.
Exactly.
And it's probably Northwest. A lot of it was probably the media, too.
Exactly. I mean, it was like Oasis versus Blur. Same fucking thing. But no, the thing is, when Kurt died, Eddie Vedder cried.
I'm sure.
And he was like, Kurt was a genius. Like, he came out and he was like, no, man, like, that guy, everyone knew he was an artist. You know, that guy.
Artists can appreciate other artists,
of course,
easily.
But I mean, seeing Eddie Vedder cry, people were like, holy shit. Like, that was something deep. So I think that really sunk in, and he went back and saw that interview where Kurt Cobain said he was useless because he couldn't play guitar, and Eddie Vedder learned how to play the guitar and learned how to play
right,
the ukulele.
Right, yeah, because he does play the guitar now. And so, you know, he wasn't wrong. And
yeah.
I'm sure he knew how
to
play the guitar.
To this day, I still agree with.
He just didn't really need to, right?
Yeah.
He was more of a voice. Eddie Vedder... I mean, he did have a weird voice, but he was still more of a vocalist than Kurt Cobain was. But Kurt Cobain was just pure balls, cock and balls and soul.
Shit, you know, dude.
Just belting it out, like you were talking about.
Did the Pines?
The Unplugged. Yeah. Just every song, he's just super screechy and it's crazy. But you know,
so can we listen to that?
We can take a break and we'll.
I want. I mean, no. Let's talk about fucking. Let's reiterate. Why it is we're going to play this. Because Kurt Cobain, this is his last live performance, I want to say.
Yeah, he died like 3 months later, yeah, 4 months later.
And the reason why he did it was because, like I said before, fucking Courtney, he found out Courtney Love was fucking the lead singer of Smashing Pumpkins.
Billy Corgan.
He breaks out of fucking...
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, well, that's what I heard. I don't know where I get all the information from.
And honestly, if he even heard something. That rumor, he probably would have believed it because he was like a... Yeah, he was an emotional fucking, wreck.
Yeah. And
Courtney
this song,
Love was insane, so... Yeah. Or she's still alive. It's not
like... I mean, if you play it, it'd be great.
We are going to take a quick break. We're going to let Nirvana play us out.
In the Pine by this original.
This is Where Did You Sleep Last Night, but it's from the Lead Belly song In the Pines. Yeah, we will be back after this.
My girl, don't lie to me. Tell me, when did you sleep last night? In the pines, where the sun shine, I would shiver the whole night through. Girl, my girl, where will you go? I'm going where the cold wind blows. In the pines, where the sun don't ever shine, I would shiver the whole night through. The husband was a hard-working man, just about a mile from here. His head was found in a driving wheel, on his body thank you.
this.
What is this?
Thank you, Pharoah Sanders.
Pharoah Sanders.
Yeah, this is...
Semi-modern? What is this?
No, this is Love in Us All. 74, I believe.
Shit, dude, this sounds fucking...
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, Pharoah Sanders...
The sound is... It's weird. It sounds like it's recorded live, right?
I'm assuming.
Is
I mean,
a live session? That can't be.
Well, it's Pharoah Sanders. I can't believe. You know, I wouldn't imagine he's going to be tweaking it very much after the fact. But it's just it's such a different take on everything that he was sort of most known for. You know, early on with playing in, like, the experimental jazz, right, or freeform jazz. With like Coltrane and everybody else, back in the, you know, 60s before Coltrane died. I think he died in 67. But yeah, this was I want to say 74. I should know. I'm playing. I apologize. But you know, he was always, not always, but that's sort of how he got his name, was just that free jazz, which is just, you know, pretty much trying to make noise for noise's sake. And it blew a lot of fucking minds, and it also pissed off a lot of people, Coltrane and his band. And so Pharoah Sanders was... I don't think Coltrane ever gave him an official billing as part of his band, but he sat in a lot. And I think the story was Pharoah Sanders is from Arkansas.
Pianist.
I think Little Rock. No, sax. Tenor sax. And he moved to Seattle when he was young, and then he ended up moving to New York. And he was having a hard time. I think he was even homeless from time to time, sleeping on the subway, you know. And then he started a group, I believe, and they played some jazz show, and Coltrane was there. And they were playing some really weird stuff. And Coltrane loved it, you know. Offered him to come sit in, and, you know, kind of the rest is history. But Sanders actually moved to Oakland, and he lived in Oakland for a while when he was a kid. I want to say, like, just out of high school, or maybe in high school, and he was raised by relatives out here. Yeah.
Well, he experienced the fucking streets.
Yeah,
of course.
They called him Little Rock. That was
you can fucking hear it. I was like, that. Why does that sound like something out of my backyard? Literally, it's Oakland.
Well, it is. Yeah, it is.
It's like, that's, wow, dude.
Yeah, he's so good.
And that's
so
wrecking me right now.
Yeah, and then, like, later on, you know. He was doing his own thing. It was a lot more melodic, but it's still super free. And on this album, there's only two tracks on this entire album.
That's why I know the sound, because it's been played in films filmed locally.
Really?
Yeah, that's why.
I hope so. I hope he's still getting played.
Because I know this sound.
Yeah, I think there's even an Alice Coltrane album with him on it, you know, course after Coltrane
I was reminiscing day. I'm like thinking, like, fuck, skating through the streets of the city, you're seeing the fucking junkies, you're seeing the street performers, you're seeing the skyline, hazy day, wet streets, and I hear this, you're fucking skateboarding down Psycho City. You know what Psycho City is?
What is Psycho City?
Psycho City was like, my brother's gonna love this part of the fucking podcast. It's a 4-block radius of San Francisco, essentially Van Ness and Market, and over towards like Fell Street and whatnot. It was this section of walls everywhere, and like parking lots and empty, like, knockdown buildings, graffiti.
Central Market, you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's graffiti.
Right.
And the graffiti artist called it Psycho City. And it's stuff that went up. It was just raw, fucking just late 80s, early 90s. And beautiful, beautiful stuff. I mean, essentially, that's the background that I hear to this music, you know. But the sad thing is, when we were bidding for the fucking Olympics, the mayor went all across town and painted over everything, you know.
So thank God we didn't get the Olympics. Jesus Christ.
No, we didn't get the Olympics, but sadly, so places like Psycho City don't exist anymore.
Right, even though we didn't get it, the city still paid a price.
City play yeah. price. It lost half its culture, I would say.
Kind of like after the Super Bowl, like that.
Exactly. Exactly. The gentrification was really too real.
Yeah, this was good though. I, you know, and sticking with a somewhat of a Coltrane vibe here, even though we haven't played any Coltrane. You know, it's I don't think Pharoah Sanders gets enough respect, and he's still alive, so there is hope yet for me and everybody listening to perhaps see him one day. And I don't know, maybe he spends time out here. That'd be pretty cool if he did. I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, this album only has two tracks. And
it only needs to.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, it's still going.
He's like the Godspeed You Black Emperor of jazz music.
Maybe Godspeed is more Pharaoh-esque. Yeah, instead of the other way around.
You got like one track albums. It's just like this is noise coming at you. Or what's your favorite word? A cacophony of sound.
Wall of sounds, Phil Spector.
Yeah.
Back to mono.
Another thing I wanted to bring up is, because I love bringing up my little brother because he's fucking hilarious. He texts me. He's like, I'm pissed, bro. I'm like, what's up? He's like, we're talking about ska. He's like, you didn't bring up fucking The Specials or Madness. I'm like, I'm sorry. I know. I was like, it's a free fall.
Did we talk about ska? I mean,
We did. I said Fishbone. I said Fishbone, right. And then we changed the subject.
I think Mandinga tried to call you out on your ska knowledge.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what's ska to you, motherfucker? I can hear it in the tone. Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, I would love to play Madness.
She knows her ska, so.
Do you know who Madness is?
Madness.
Madness is, I want to say English. Yeah. Well, ska started like.
You love that English twist reggae. On shit. You know, white reggae. The English beat.
Oh, English. Lyric. I've seen the English beat.
They play here a lot.
Yeah, I saw them play with The Specials on Santa Cruz Beach for free. It's like essentially the scene that you would see in The Lost Boys, but it was English beat.
People are just screaming, mirror in the bathroom. Everybody's drunk and it's a free show.
No, it's ska's a subject. I mean, it started, like, what were we just talking about it? You said it started with dance hall, right?
Yeah.
Well, explain the whole.
Well, no, I mean, you know, I'm not well versed enough to go into the history of Jamaican roots music here, but yeah, dancehall, sort of ska, punky, reggae, and I don't know, man. I don't know enough about that. I feel like I used to. You know, I'm getting older, so.
But they say dancehall, then ska, then reggae.
Dub. I don't know. Yeah.
Dub.
You know, I don't know. Do you really want to? You want to segue into that? You want me to?
Yeah, why not? Why not?
Well, I just feel bad cutting Mr. Sanders off here, but I believe Pharaoh is a derivative, or he's sort of his real name is Farrell, I believe. Right? Maybe not, but all right. Sorry, Mr. Sanders. We're gonna transition here. You gotta cue it up.
Yeah, I got it. So this is One Step Beyond by the Band Called Mad. It's my brother's favorite ska. I'm gonna go ahead and pipe that in.
Coming off the street, and you're beginning to feel the heat. Well, listen, Buster, you better start to move your feet to the rockin'est, rock steady beat of madness. One step beyond.
That's just raw ska, dude. That's that fucking white ska. You know, you got your creepers on, you've got like you're halfway there to a zoot suit. Get your polar cap on. When I was a kid, I used to dance to this dude. It's interesting to dance to this guy. Hey, do you know this song?
I don't think I do. No.
Dude, this is like one of the greatest. This is all over fucking MTV.
Yeah, I grew up on MTV. This is on MTV? I don't remember that.
We fade out of that. That's fun. I just wanted you to hear that. So that was paying tribute to my generation, ska.
To Georgie, what's his name?
Georgie. He wanted to hear. He's like, hey, man, he was pissed.
Georgie.
He was like legitimately pissed.
Well, Georgie, you're welcome. we could play the Ika Mouse song Georgie Porgy.
He doesn't want that much attention.
It's a good song. It's a good song.
Yeah, I didn't mean to cut off Pharaoh, but
But you did. Yeah, it's okay.
I wanted to mention that because it was funny. Because it's funny when people talk about their taste in music or their experience in music. Oh, they're fucking, you know, they're married to it. Yeah.
Music is a very personal thing.
Yeah. It's like when you hear people arguing and it's about music, it's intense. It's like, no, like, what, fuck you. It was like Neil Diamond and Leonard Cohen and Neil Diamond. The argument all over again.
That's outrageous. We're not gonna.
I think we're arguing different points on that. I'm gonna agree to disagree.
You could do the whole Eddie Vedder, Kurt Cobain, sure. All right, but yeah, you know,
what are you, team Eddie Vedder, dude?
No, clearly you are because you.
I love Eddie Vedder, but you know, Kurt's king.
What would and this is one of those stupid questions that people talk about, like, oh, what would Elvis be doing, or what would Jimi Hendrix be doing, or what would Kurt Cobain be doing if he were alive right now? I don't know. It kind of freaks me out to think about that. Honestly, I don't know.
That's a big question, actually, because I've had this conversation multiple times with.
But isn't it? It's lots of people. It's kind of a stupid question.
Though, influence, right? Posthumously.
No. I'm not talking about posthumous.
No, I'm talking about if there wasn't a death.
Right.
Would it be as powerful?
Would they be as big? Would they still be relevant? They still be playing the same old shit?
Bowie. Prince.
Well, Bowie.
Michael.
Bowie lived, though, man, you know.
Bowie, Prince, Jackson, you know, Elvis. I mean, they were that big. Beatles, it doesn't matter. Like, they were that big of an influence when they were alive. Paul McCartney's still alive, and the shit that he wrote still makes fucking people fucking think about life differently.
Right, no, Bob Dylan. But how would they progress?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. That's what I'm saying. I'm relating it to that.
Because a lot of them that died young because they lived fast, and they lived like they were never going to die, right? But, of course, when you live like that, chances are you're going to die a lot sooner.
Michael Jackson had a fucking theme park. He died young, but he had a fucking...
There's a lot more going on there.
He had a 40-year career, if not more.
That's because he never had a childhood, and there was all kinds of weird shit going on there, you know? So that's just, you know, basic... I don't know.
Yeah, it's
psychotic complexes coming out when you're a grown man and you have just unlimited amounts of money. But no, like, you know, and I would like to see how Jimi Hendrix, right? Like, I think about that one a lot. And, like, would there have been a Stevie Ray Vaughan if Jimi Hendrix didn't die, right? If he just kept going, could he had still continued that psychedelic rock? Like, would he have evolved into something
else? You know what my new shit is? Psychedelic rock out of Thailand. Have you heard that shit? I don't have anything ready, but no. We'll get into that in another episode. But they use fucking traditional instruments.
There's a lot of really good stuff. There's psychedelic rock coming out of Korea, you know, old stuff. I mean,
oh, yeah, no.
Everywhere. But Iran.
In Thailand, they use Iraq, like traditional instruments from like out of their country.
Yeah.
No, we'll get into that at some other point. But no, influence... Or like, you know, the effect that they had, is it as strong, or where would they be now if they were still alive? It's the same, like, the artists that were that poignant when they were poignant. It's like, you know, they're still doing it. Or if they're not,
right,
their shit is still that impressive and that
maybe influential. I guess that's best case scenario. You sort of just fade away.
Bob Dylan, that guy is...
Well, Dylan is Dylan, man. He's a god. So it's,
yeah, and Dylan,
he can
sure,
do no wrong. And he's still making amazing albums.
I haven't heard anything in the past 5 years. I have related to back in Dylan. But.
Yeah, but okay. But still, even if, you know, last 10 years, like, he still has albums. And kind of like Leonard Cohen, right? Cohen actually just got better with age. But, you know, you look at somebody like Clapton, and I was never a huge
fucking
fan.
Clapton.
Yeah, and it's sort of like, well, you know.
It
would be more depressing in my...
It's funny
to
because...
sort of see Hendrix fizzle out into like a Clapton. Although he never would have, because he's a much, much
better Most musicians artist. I know praise Clapton, and I fucking hate Eric Clapton.
I don't know.
This is my friend Jesse the Jew. Loves Eric Clapton, and he's like, oh, I can't even name any of his songs. I avoided him like the plague.
I mean, Blind Faith, I think we touched on that earlier. I love, you know, Blind Faith's great, but Blind Faith's sort of like a super band, and they had one album, sure. And that's for me, that's some the only Clapton that I could tolerate. And he's not singing, so it's great. It's even better. He's just playing guitar. And then Clapton in the last waltz, I like. But again, that's just because the band is backing him. And
fuck,
like, I don't know.
Eric Clapton.
Right. Yeah, I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to argue with that.
I'm going to go there.
But you see what I'm saying? Like, well, I don't know. But, you know, it's not, you know, George Harrison evolved
George Harrison was
very
was,
well. And
when George, when,
he was
when,
always great till the day he died. So.
When Harrison died, I literally was like, fuck, there's only Ringo. But for me, Paul's been dead since fucking,
that's true.
Since what, before Rubber Soul? What was the album that he died on?
I forget. Sgt. Pepper.
I don't know.
Paul is dead.
Paul is dead. Fuck Clapton and Paul is dead. That defines fucking 60s and 70s for you. I don't know what it is. It's just I can't listen to him. I can't do it. I can't fucking do it.
That's fine. That's yeah. You're not under any obligation to appreciate that. Nobody is. But so you know, maybe that's the whole thing. It's if you were never good, or if you were always just sort of clinging to one thing, you're gonna evolve the same way. But you know, somebody like J.J. Cale, who I, you know, just revere, he kept it real to the end, and he was still making great albums. And I, honestly, I'm surprised we haven't actually gone in and talked a little bit about J.J. Cale in the past, because he deserves our utmost attention.
What kind of music?
Oh, man. So pretty much every song that Eric Clapton is known for, J.J. Cale wrote.
Shut the fuck up. He had a ghostwriter.
After Midnight, Cocaine, Call the Doctor. I mean, you know, Call Me the Breeze. I mean, Jesus Christ, dude. Like,
fuck.
Cale's the fucking man. And you know what? We are going to...
play.
Yeah,
play.
We're going to dip into a little...
Clapton?
We're going to dip into a little J.J. Cale right now.
Podcast, you take it where you want it to go.
I got that green light, baby. Fuck, man, this shit gets me going, man. I'm just gonna start like singing and like going nuts right now. This is one of my favorite albums of all time.
I want to hear. Let's. I want to get a visual scenario as you as a kid getting into music.
It took a while.
Sitting in your room.
I was a weird kid. I listened to weird stuff.
Riding the bus.
Riding the bus? No, I never rode the bus. I grew up in the suburbs, bro.
Driving in your car?
No, I never had a car because I was poor, so. Riding friends' cars, maybe.
Yeah, dude. I mean, fucking Walkman, CD players, like.
Oh, yeah,
zoning
yeah.
out.
Oh, yeah.
What was your skyline? What was your background?
Visually. I think we talked. Visually? What do you mean?
You sitting in your garage, in your room, listening to records?
Oh, yeah. No, always in the room with headphones. I think I still do that. That's still like one of my favorite pastimes, right? You get a new album. Well, nowadays, you know, you sort of stream it or download it, or if you're lucky enough to have a decent set of turntables.
In your 20s, you're fucking to it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, when I was a kid, it's like you go out, you skate, you walk downtown, you know, like you're walking through the filth, you're walking through the rain, cold, and you listen to the music. That's your only fucking solace. That's your only...
I still to this day, I don't really listen to music like when I'm walking around. I don't really like it. I don't really like to. I like to sort of just be in one place, like around quietness. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I like
it to depends on what you're listening to.
I guess. I don't know. I feel weird because I never have like earphones in ever, like when I'm in public. I don't know. It's
nowadays. Just, yeah.
Everybody
nowadays,
does.
But before, like, no, I was.
And I hope they are because I think a lot of people are listening to podcasts. So keep it up. Keep it up. Keep listening.
Yeah. Drive for me is driving.
Don't listen to me.
I'm on a road trip. Oh,
exactly.
I mean, it sets the mood.
Yeah. And this is actually, it's sort of tradition to start off every road trip with JJ Cale. That's kind of, and especially naturally, this album. This album is
key. That tradition going.
So when I first moved up here, actually, 06, I had this little beater, this little 87 Acura, right? It was just like on its last breath. I was just lucky that it made it up here. I packed up my car and just figured if I made it past the grapevine, I was happy. But I made it all the way, and it was just like, you know, it looked like I was just like literally just like transporting like cocaine. Like it was just so weighed down.
Well, you are
there was
part
no
Colombian,
suspension.
So, yeah.
I am Colombia. But you know, so but it, I had like I think I had like four CDs, but this one was just in the stereo for probably like 6 months. This is all I listened to like the first 6 months I lived here.
You grew up with like a lot of folk and things like that.
No, I didn't grow up with that. I mean, it depends on like what you mean by grow up. Like like when I was like 17, 18, that's when I expanded musically my horizon.
17, 18?
Yeah, because before that, man, it was just, you know, whatever popular was fed punk mainly, a lot of punk.
So I'm so lucky, dude. I'm starting to think about what you said before, like fucking lucky. My influences that I've had in music. The best case scenario is I'm at fucking Amoeba. I'm at Tower Records.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
my
brother, Tower,
my dad, my mom. It's like all the influences.
Well, again, that's what I mean. So like a lot of weird stuff, right?
Yeah.
So,
and I'd go off on my own tangents. You know what I mean? Like you had folk. I had Irish folk.
The Pogues and
yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Well, you know, and I love me a good sea shanty. When I got my first mandolin, I remember that's pretty much all I was learning was sea shanties. And,
yeah, no. I've always felt akin to Irish music. I don't know what it is. I am a quarter Irish.
Quarter Irish, okay.
But that didn't really ring true to me until I was like late teens. But for some reason, I was just always transfixed on that. In film, in music, skating in the city.
Big Van Morrison fan.
Through the filth. Oh, huge Van Morrison. Who isn't a fucking Van Morrison fan? You don't like Van Morrison. I can't even talk to you. Right? Sweetest Thing? Come on.
Sure.
Right? Well, I don't know. What do you think?
And again, you know, I love me a good sea shanty. I could probably even sing a few if you got me drunk enough. I got some Irish in me.
You want to appreciate some Pogues with me right
some
now?
Some Pogues? All right, yeah. Let's
a little dirty old town.
This is a dirty old town.
Met my love by the gasworks wall. Dreamed the dream by the old canal. I kissed my girl by the factory wall. Dirty old town, dirty old town. Clouds are drifting across the moon. Cats are proud. at night. Dirty old town, dirty old town.
He'll get that over. Folks, fuck.
Shit. Drinking, you get drunk to that.
This is drinking music.
Yeah, I'm fucking.
I feel like Daniel Day-Lewis in The Boxer, although he doesn't really get drunk.
Who doesn't like Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yeah,
come on. That's the most Irish motherfucker you're ever gonna meet.
Oh, that's good stuff. You know, I always liked the real drinking songs, like. Right, so like Jolly Grog or Drunken Sailor or what was that, Robbie Robbio or whatever.
I thought we were going to outro though.
We're going to do it, well, you know, all for me grog, you know.
All for me grog.
The Jolly Rogue.
Wait, who's this?
I don't even know. Me Jolly Jolly Grog. See, this is... I don't even know
what... What are we listening to right now? A sea shanty? No. Yeah. We're not going to outro to this.
We're not outroing.
And it's all for me, grog.
No.
Me
just
jolly,
too hokey.
Jolly, grog. All gone by beer and tobacco. Well, I spent only tin down on South Street right drinking gin. And across the Western Ocean we must wander. Oh, and where is me hat?
Yeah. It's not as polished as Pogues.
No, it's Pogues. I mean, it reminds me, when I think of the Pogues, I think of a scene like the Willow song scene in fucking Wicker Man. And they're all in a room and they have these fucking drums and fucking banjo, guitar, harmonica, and all that shit. And people are getting down. In a circle.
No, just like real folky.
Real yeah. Fucking folky.
Not piratey.
No, not fucking jolly
no
golly
jolly grog.
Grog.
No jolly grog. I don't know. I kind of like it. It's all right. And again, I think just playing like a fiddle or a mandolin kind of, you know, leans you toward easy songs to play. You know, otherwise you're trying to play Zeppelin with a mandolin, and it's not really gonna work. I'm not John Paul Jones, so I'm not gonna even try.
Now you have me thinking about Sinead O'Connor.
Ooh,
I fucking love Sinead O'Connor.
Ooh, yeah, that is a hot woman.
And then, yeah, she's so hot. Shit, I love bald women. I don't know, the androgynous.
She just seems like if you can do a fight, like she's got your back. Like you don't gotta worry. Like she's gonna step in
and
like help
quotes,
you out.
Scriptures.
She's a badass. She's probably the only musician to ever get banned from Saturday Night Live. I may be wrong on that, but she definitely got banned. Remember when she tore up the picture? She sang. She did the whole set, and then she picks the picture of the Pope and just rips it and
on stage.
Yeah. And
no, how about when she was so at good. that concert and she got booed and Kris Kristofferson had to save her.
That's awesome.
Did you ever see that scene?
I don't know.
It was intense. Like she was kind of crying and she was getting booed after it was directly right after the fucking SNL thing.
Yeah.
And Kris Kristofferson comes on stage and walks her off and is like, it's going to be okay. that's the one shoulder you want
to
cry on,
man. Yeah, definitely.
Kris Kristofferson. Oh, it's a real man. It's a real man.
Bad. I had the good fortune of seeing him a few months ago.
Were you ever into bands like the Cranberries? Was that?
Sure, I mean
90s Cranberries.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
Dreams, fuck.
Cranberries were dope.
Oh, man. I'm playing that. Dreams, Cranberries. I mean, the video itself, it's like a dream, like a essentially what the fucking what the song says.
You got it.
Thank you.
that's just mostly music.
Is she doing her own harmonies there? Or?
Dude, she's four tracking on her shit.
So good.
Remember the video? It's like walking around with a fucking like cloak.
90s, man. Oh,
so it brings me back. I was somewhere.
Could a band like this even make it nowadays? Like, is there even an appetite for something obscure? It's not even obscure because at the time it was played on every sort of hit music station.
It was all over.
Yeah,
it was everywhere.
Was that more a sign of those times, or was that you think that a band like this could transcend time and be popular nowadays? Are there even bands though like this anymore? Right? I mean,
yeah. It's just you're not hearing them.
It's very melodic. It's very catchy.
Here's
hooky, and but it's good. It's not.
Here's the problem. We're 36. We have our experience.
Are you saying there is stuff out there like this? We're just very ignorant.
I mean, shit. Like, artists that I'm really starting to get into right now: Sufjan Stevens.
Yeah,
but I'm saying like his stuff is really starting to become something to me, and I never really gave him a chance.
Really?
Yeah.
There was a period where back in like the early 2000s, but again, smoking a lot of weed and getting into a lot of sort of modern folk, I guess you could call it. But even someone like Angel Olsen is still, I mean, it's nothing like this,
let's talk about new stuff. Like, that's
I think
that's Ishmi Holberg's
side. She's really good. She's, and she's putting out albums and, very different, but also really accessible at the same time, but yet original enough to where you don't feel like it's being overly produced or anything like that.
But perspectively, I mean, who stands out? Let's say they're 20-something and they're artists now. Who stands out? James Blake. James Blake does it for me. Do you know who James Blake is? 25-year-old. Well, he was 25 when I learned about him a few years ago. So he's like 28, 29 now, but... James Blake fucking Retrograde. You, dude, English kid, white kid, with so much soul in his voice, it'll fucking wreck your life, dude. That's something I got into in the past couple years, few years.
Okay.
Yeah, if you play James Blake Retrograde, it's going to change your life. I mean, get that in your ears, and you're looking at a whole different spectrum of music.
You want to go into that? But yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely, right. Play that. I mean, that's...
I can
hit those notes. No, dude, are you fucking kidding me? Mid-20s.
Yeah.
I love that sound. It just drops. It sucks you in. Literally, the song sucks you in. First time I heard this song, I forgot what I was listening to. It was a show. I don't remember. And driving home from work, maybe past midnight, hitting the highway, going down the coast, and this sound hits me. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And then the voice comes out, and I'm like, fuck. I was like, what is this? I look him up. I'm like, James Blake, what the fuck? And it's, dude.
He's a British guy. Right?
Yeah. Young. Good-looking kid. I mean, fucking... That's talent. That's, I mean, you want to know what you need to get into now? This is it. This is one of many.
He's been out for a few years, though.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, like, yeah. That's what we're talking about. Like, current.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's impressive. How impressive is this? I mean, people could say it's a little overproduced, but I say, you know, it's perfect.
Well, now everything is, I mean, you know, I don't know. It's good. That, yeah, well, you know, I...
Look, go ahead, criticize it, it's okay. Just say your opinion, I want to hear it.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's cool. It's all right.
It's fucking good. What did I play for you one time? I played for you Ray Schmurder. And you liked it.
Oh, a couple years ago. Yeah, well,
it was hip. It was like 6 months ago.
Back, no, that was at least a year ago. But now he's blown up. He's fucking.
No, they. It's a couple dudes.
It's two dudes. But yeah, Ray Schmurder is
Ray Schmurder
is just a no, no. It's Schmurder.
It's spelled that way, but it's Schmurder.
No. That's Bobby Schmurder. That's different. But Ray Schmurder is a. It's backwards for ear drummer.
Oh,
right. Yeah. So. It's two dudes, right? And but now they're blown the fuck up with Black Beatles and the whole mannequin challenge or whatever, right? It's a hot shot. Wait, you
I know the mannequin challenge, but
you don't know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I have Facebook.
I wasn't even no. Look, everybody's heard that, so I wasn't even gonna play that. Really, what I wanted to talk about was Currency. What do you know about Currency? I mean, if we're gonna go hip hop.
Currency?
So, yeah, Currency is probably the most prolific rapper alive right now. This guy is putting out an album a month. An album a month, man. So he just got done with 9:30, 10:30, 11:30, 12:30. He's putting out an album at the end of every month. The last album just came out, you know, a week ago. Not even.
I have no idea what this is.
2 weeks ago, I guess now. But Spitta Andretti, a.k.a. Spit a.k.a. Currency. So
I want to hear Ray Schmurda.
Well, yeah, but everybody knows that. Okay, and I'm assuming a lot of people know about Currency, but if they don't, I feel like we need to give him a little credit here because he's been doing way more this last year than probably anybody around.
Episode.
We should have a whole hip hop episode. I'm too ignorant to you know head that episode, but you know I know a little. I know it's hard, man. There's so much going on right now. But we should give a little love to Currency, who is easily the most prolific rapper going on right now. We're gonna play something off his most recent album right here.
I think we can out to that.
You wanna?
It's out to that. Let's give him the mantle.
Currency deserves the outro. We're just gonna.
It's a good night.
We're gonna give it to him. So
Ignatius Palafox, thank you.
Live and unlive from San Francisco, California. This is Ignatius Palafox.
The low spark.
Signing off. Shalom. Bill. In the stage house trying to have another meal. Dollar bill. Yeah. When I got out the car, I was talking on the phone. Calm in the storm. The Rolls Royce racing, the Rolls Royce dawn. Too slick, you probably slip before you could step up on. Intercept it before you could creep. You see, you've been crept on. Life was press on. Adding to my Rolex collection. Sky dweller, Rose gold, probably be my next one. I know what you want here. And shit that make you hustle all year. I came to the studio with a boat. So I can load these keys up when they're ready to go. Them other crew slinging stepped on dope. You want that pure shit, homie, then you know where to go. The game to change, y'all, but not your dog. I'm still in the cut, rolled up in the cush fold. Like, dollar bill. In the stash house, trying to hide another meal. Yeah.
dollar bill. In the stash house trying to hide another meal. Yeah, dollar bill. In the stash house trying to hide another meal. Yeah, dollar bill. In the stash house trying to hide another meal. Yeah,
dollar bill. Nigga. Yeah. Rest in peace, my nigga Timber. Used to hit the beauty bar on Tuesday for a Brenda. Freddy Foggiato chopped that flex to get my chips up. When I jumped up off the porch, ain't had no cruises where I end up. RDO stay dope like ice cubes and boiling water. Ain't no guests up in this bitch, but I'm cooking like Snoop and Martha. Fuck the stripper club and they ain't got titties out like the Carter. Young Nina, if she nasty like Janet, I James DeVarger. Like, yeah, dollar bill. Pulled the whole Joe Montana when I broke the seal. Niggas thought that I was dead in the gutter, they wrote the wheel. Beat the case and I put new candy paint on my coupe de ville. Beat the case and put my baby on acres like ancient change up. Yeah, I rap a bitch, my meat and potatoes come off that slang. It took that jaw up out the box, twist and shake it, let it dry then break it. Get you 3 for 2, I serve triple doubles, Anthony Davis. So Russell, I meant more than a couple assists. Once I alley-ooped the ball, player was running the bitch. Gangsta Gibbs flipping a chick like I was Chris in 1996. She get dick from a player off the New York Knicks. And I'm like, ew, dollar bill.